Let's first read the passage, Luke 2, 22 through 38. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow, until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him, to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So we've looked at Mary's Magnificat, the Latin first word of her glorious song of praise. We've looked at Zechariah. He's the father of John the Baptist. We've looked at his Benedictus, the first word in his song of praise. And now we look at Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. To me, that's the strangest of the names of those three. It's the name given to his words of this praise and the prophecy. It's taken from the first words of verse 29 of the Latin translation. And I know by giving this, don't let me give you the impression that I'm a Latin scholar. I never took a Latin class in my life. I know et tu, Brute, and that's about all I know. But if you're interested, it looks like this. There's Luke 29 in the Latin Vulgate. I do know that Jerome is the one that translated the Greek New Testament into Latin. So you see the first two words are Nunc Dimittis. And what that means in English, it means basically you dismiss or permission to depart. And what Simeon is saying is now that his eyes have seen God's salvation, Jesus Christ, he now has permission to depart or die in peace. And we'll come back to that thought in a little bit. Now, another thing that I am not, besides not being a Latin scholar, I'm not an art scholar, nor am I an art critic, but I can appreciate a beautiful piece of artwork. And I'd like to show you a couple that I found. And these are two paintings by some well-known artists of Simeon, which present him beholding the infant Jesus. And it's almost like there's a sermon just by looking at Simeon's face. This first one is by an artist called De Gelder. And just look at his face as he's thinking, now I have permission to depart because my eyes have seen your salvation. As his eyes are looking towards heaven. And then there's Rembrandt, much more well known than De Gelder. And that's Rembrandt just speechless almost. But Simeon wasn't, of course. Our time is short, so let's begin to walk through our magnificent piece of divine artwork, the Nunc Dimittis from Luke chapter 2. Let's look at the first three verses. And I'll call this, Jesus from the very beginning was brought up according to God's law. Verse 22 through 24. And when the time came for their purification, because God's law required this, it's according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And these verses clearly show that Mary and Joseph were a devout couple. They trusted in the Lord. They were willing to obey the commands of the law of Moses when it came to the birth of Jesus. They were living out their lives in obedience as far as they knew, as far as they could tell. And what exactly did the Old Testament law require of them at this time? Well, the first place to look is Leviticus chapter 12. I'll read the first four verses. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the people of Israel, saying, if a woman conceives and bears a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as at the time of her menstruation. She shall be unclean. And on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Then she shall continue for 33 days in the blood of her purifying. She shall not touch anything holy, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are completed. So what would happen is Mary gave birth to Jesus, and you would take the 7 days, Jesus circumcised on the eighth, and then she had to wait 33 more days. So 33 plus 7 is 40 days. That just seems to be one of the numbers God gives us over and over and over, isn't it? 40 days of the flood. 40 years in the wilderness. Jesus ascending 40 days after the resurrection. And again, in the law of Moses, Exodus 13, the Lord says to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn. That's what Mary and Joseph were doing with Jesus. Whoever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. So they would have brought two doves or two turtle doves. Leviticus 12:8. If she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, not two doves, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her and she shall be clean. So most scholars would say this shows that Mary and Joseph were more of a poor family because maybe they didn't have the money to buy a lamb. A lamb was much more expensive to buy and they could get the turtle doves or the pigeons for much cheaper. Exodus 13, verses 13 and 14. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. And when in time to come your son asks you, what does this mean? You shall say to him, by a strong hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. So it's interesting how Jesus fit right into the system that thousands and thousands and thousands of male children had undergone all throughout Israel's history. And every time they were presented to the Lord, it was the proclamation of God's people being delivered from slavery in Egypt and being given freedom as Moses led them through the wilderness and brought them into the promised land. This one was different. Now you have the Redeemer of God's people who would truly lead God's people out of slavery to sin and death into the promised land of the kingdom of God. This time, the gospel was being proclaimed, and Simeon knew it. And you could tell those artists knew that Simeon knew it, as you just picture the look on their faces as they beheld the salvation of God in the face of the infant Jesus. Let's look at the next few verses, Luke 25 through 35. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit. You know, that's three times that the Holy Spirit is mentioned. So the Holy Spirit, as we used to say, is all over Simeon. The Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he wouldn't see death. And he was led by the Spirit to be there right at that time when Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus in to see him redeemed. And he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, and here's the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. So he recognized right there that Jesus was a Messiah and a Savior, not just of God's people Israel, but of the whole world. The Holy Spirit was busy doing that right there, of showing how vast and comprehensive worldwide the gospel was going to be. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about them. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on what he said to Mary. But you know, as Jesus was hanging on the cross, crucified, moms, you especially know, if that was you, and it was your son up there, a sword would have pierced your very soul. Knowing that he was innocent, and knowing that you had sung the Magnificat, and that you knew that he was the Savior of the world, and yet they crucified him right before your eyes. And they're not talking about a dagger. They're talking about a broad, long, thick sword, which would have exacted much pain as it pierced her own soul. And that brings us to the second point. And this is a quote from Matthew Henry that I borrowed. Those that have welcomed Christ may welcome death. It's probably the most important thing in the message this morning. All those who have welcomed Christ may now welcome death. Doesn't that go against everything that we think? Against the way we act and behave? If we've welcomed Christ, we can all be like Simeon. We now have permission to depart in peace. This is the very heart of Simeon's Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. See, once you have seen the Lord's salvation, you can depart this world in peace. You have no need to fear death or fear life. Some people fear life more than death because life for them is miserable and it's terrible and things don't turn out the way they hoped or dreamed. You have no need to fear death or life, for Jesus is Lord of both. See, this is the peace that the Apostle Paul wrote about. Every time you see in the Bible the subject of peace, this is what it's talking about. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's often just that just becomes a trite little saying to us, doesn't it? That we say real quick or we see imprinted on a little picture on the wall. But Simeon knew. His eyes had seen the Christ, and he knew that the peace of God now enabled him and gave him permission to depart or die in peace. It was the same peace that the very first high priest Aaron spoke of in his famous blessing in the book of Numbers. Now he spoke it thousands of years in advance. And he said, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. It's one thing in one of those pictures. It's like there's light coming from the baby Jesus. It's a light source illuminating Simeon's face. You know, as you ponder great artwork, you begin to take in details that the artist intended that us dummies never notice until you read about them. And then it said, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It's the peace that Matt read earlier this morning in the letter to the Colossians. That peace between God and man that Jesus procured for us on the cross by his own holy sacrifice. From Colossians 1:20, through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. See, God and God's people are no more at war with each other. They have been reconciled. There is peace. Those that have welcomed Christ, as Simeon did, may welcome death, because death has now lost its sting. Where is your sting, O death? All that is now left of death for the believer is a shadow. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever, at peace with God and at peace with man. That's what Simeon saw when he looked in the face of the infant Savior Jesus. Simeon is a man who is not scared of dying, and neither should we, for we can now depart in peace. Philip Ryken said this, "Anyone who has seen Jesus with the eyes of faith is prepared to die." That's a good measure of whether you're a Christian or not. That doesn't mean that you don't not struggle from time to time and struggle with assurance of salvation. We all do from time to time. But, and anyone who has not seen him, Ryken goes on, whether young or old, is not ready to die at all. If you haven't seen Jesus, you are not ready to die. When we see Jesus and his salvation, we are ready to be dismissed from this life in peace and enter the life to come. Have you seen Jesus by faith? Have you seen him crucified for your sins? Have you seen him raised for your salvation? It is then and only then that you are prepared to die. He also said to Mary that this child was appointed for the rise, for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And it's all dependent on what they think about the Messiah, whether they accept him or whether they reject him. And then our third and last point this morning. I couldn't think of what to title this one, other than, and then there was Anna. And I have to admit, she's one of my heroes in the Bible. I just wish it said more of her. Luke 2:36-38. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and went as a widow until she was 84. Some theologians have translated that she was 84 years old, or it had been 84 years since she was widowed, and she was, 105. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. That's probably hyperbole, but we get the point. It's like she's that old woman that's always there praying. You go to the temple with your children, they're going, "There's that lady again." She was just a woman devoted to prayer and fasting and waiting and waiting and fasting and praying. She was not retiring. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. So who was this Anna? People like this, I want to be on their prayer list, don't you? Well, she was a prophetess. So we know she was one who spoke God's word to people. Says she was the daughter of Phanuel. We don't know much about him, but it comes from the Hebrew word Peniel. All the way back in Genesis 32, and Jacob wrestled with an angel at a place called Peniel, where the river Jabbok twisted and turned, and he went there at night and wrestled with an angel all night long and held on to him to receive the blessing of God. And he said, "I have seen the face of God." I bet Anna got close in her prayers. that she got close. She was a widow on a mission. She didn't hang it up. She prayed. She was a persevering prayer warrior and a devoted worshiper, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. She was a faithful witness. She spoke of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Israel. I think of Anna when I think of verses like 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous one, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. It was the loving of the appearing of the Lord that drove Anna to the temple to pray like that. Sometimes you just see people in the scriptures and you go, I want to be like that. Not only want to be on their prayer list, I want to be like that. Philip Ryken, and I want to close with this. He said, we can see Jesus even more clearly than Anna and Simeon did. We see him not only in his birth, but also in his death and resurrection. Knowing for sure that in him we have the forgiveness of sins and the promise of eternal life, we also have the Holy Spirit to help us follow their example by looking in faith